Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. We heard these words from our intro today. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. I don't know about you, but my eyes have been watching and waiting for news and developments and changes, watching what goes on, what comes from the government, what comes from the CDC, what comes from all kinds of different corners of the news media, to know what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and where we should go and where we shouldn't go, and how we should prepare and what to expect. My eyes have been many times fixed on these things. Maybe your eyes have been too. But the psalmist in our intro today says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. The psalmist there, and that comes from Psalm 25, tells us that his eyes are toward the Lord because he knows that the Lord will pluck his feet out of the net. That is, the Lord will save him, rescue him from the trap that is there that seems ready to grab him and to take him and to harm him. That his eyes are not toward the net and to what it might do to him. His eyes are not toward someone else to remove the net, nor are his eyes toward himself to get rid of the net, to get rid of this danger that he faces. But his eyes are ever to the Lord, because the Lord will pluck his feet out of the net. Now let's dwell on this a little bit. What does it mean to have your eyes, then, ever toward the Lord in the face of danger? Dangers which we also face now, which are very real and apparent, but dangers which we always face as mortal human beings. What does it mean to have our eyes toward the Lord? To have our eyes toward someone is to expect all good from them. Imagine children who have been promised some gift, and they look to the person who promised to give them the gift, waiting expectantly for that gift. Or hungry children in an orphanage who are brought food, and their eyes are toward the people bringing the food. Their eyes are toward them, waiting expectantly because they know that all good comes from them. Our eyes sometimes turn toward other things because we expect good to come from them. Our eyes are glued to the news, hoping that something new will actually show up. Something helpful will actually come. Many times, we only become more afraid, perhaps more frustrated. But our eyes are to be ever toward the Lord, expecting all good from him, because he is the one who can and will pluck our feet out of the net. But how do we know that? After all, the governor, the president, and the CDC, and all of those people are here before our eyes. They have plans. They have knowledge. They know more than we do. They have more power than we do. Surely we should turn our eyes toward them to trust in them because they can, it seems, do so much. But our eyes are to be ever toward the Lord. Because first and foremost, he is the one who has control over all things. He governs this whole world. He knows the past, and he knows the present, and he knows the future. He knows what you are struggling with right now. He knows what fears you face. He knows more than the president, more than the governor, more than the CDC. He knows all things, and he is in control. And he has allowed this to happen. We do not know why. He has not revealed to us why. He's in control. That's the first reason we should trust in him. But his power alone does not give comfort. Someone who has power is not necessarily on our side, is not necessarily there to help us. How do we know that this God who is in command and control of all things cares for us and will use his power for our good and our support and our help? We who are weak and are mortal and face death, each and every day. The only way we know it, the only way we know that he will indeed pluck our feet out of the net, that he will rescue us from danger, is because of the death of Jesus on the cross. As we sang in our hymn, God loved the world so that he gave his only Son, the lost to save. This is how we know that God loves us, is that he gave his only Son into our flesh to suffer and die for us. The way we know God is Jesus. Scripture says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This is the way that we see God. He is the image of God. We have to see God and know God through Jesus. Through Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, because there we know that God has come here to suffer the punishment for our sins, to pay for them, so that we might have eternal life. He rose on the third day so that we know that we might rise again, even though we should die. That all who are in Jesus, who have been baptized into him, who have been buried there, will rise again when Jesus comes on the last day. We know that this all-powerful God truly does care for us because of the death of Jesus on the cross. This is how we know that he will indeed pluck our feet out of the net. And we know this love of God in Jesus in a very tangible way right here for us. That it is for us in the 21st century, even though it happened that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, a long time ago in a place far away, we know it in a tangible way here and now for us, that God is for us, the all-powerful God of the universe, when he comes to us here and now in the body and blood of this Son of God on the cross. We know that here, someone else has shed their body and their blood. Someone else has died. And what's more, that one who died has risen again. This is the risen body and blood of Jesus that we receive here. And we know that even if we should die from COVID-19 or from something else, we have here the medicine of immortality. A medicine that does far more than what any physician on this earth can give us. Far better than any hospital, any government agency, any governor, any head of state can give us, is the life that we receive here and now in the body and blood of Jesus. Here is our life. As we sang in our first hymn, Christ, the life of all the living. Christ, the death of death, our foe. Here is life. Here we know that the all-powerful God has come to us to give us life. Here is our comfort and hope in any and every affliction and need. Here our eyes are then toward the Lord. As we look to him, like children looking to their father or mother for some good gift, our eyes are toward our heavenly Father to give us his good gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. So that we may know that when we die, we will rise again on the last day. Our eyes are toward him because we know here that he plucks our feet out of the net, out of any danger, to give us life. And in our gospel reading today, we have a good example, a couple of good examples, of people who either do not have their eyes toward the Lord or one who does have his eyes toward the Lord, trusting that he will pluck his feet out of the net. On the one hand, we have a number of people who do not want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, they have concluded beforehand that if anybody should confess that Jesus is the Christ, he's to be cast out of the synagogue. They cannot believe that Jesus has healed this man, this blind man, born blind. And so they refuse to believe that Jesus is the one in whom they are to trust. That this is the image of the invisible God come here for their salvation. And instead they reject him. Their eyes are not ever toward the Lord, to have him pluck their feet out of the net. But this blind man is healed by Jesus. We don't even hear that he asks Jesus to heal him, but Jesus comes right away and heals him And then after he is healed, this man's eyes are toward Jesus. And he is not afraid to confess that Jesus has healed him, and that this Jesus must be more than some other man, like any other man. Even though the authorities, the Jewish authorities, throw him out of the synagogue, even though his parents are afraid to confess what has happened, this man is not afraid because his eyes are ever toward the Lord. And when Jesus comes to him after he's been cast out of the synagogue, the man does not reject Jesus and say, "Hey, why'd you get me in so much trouble?" He does not distrust Jesus, but he trusts Jesus. When Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, he believes in Jesus and he worships him. Because his eyes are ever toward the Lord to pluck his feet out of the net. His eyes are ever toward Jesus, in whom he knows that God is merciful and gracious to him. That here is the Son of God, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who has come here for his salvation. His eyes are fixed on Jesus, no matter what the other consequences might be, for his confession and his trust in Jesus. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. So easily our eyes stray toward many other things in this world, when we are afraid, when we are in trouble. But in everything, even as we listen to other people, even as we take their recommendations and consider them and weigh them, even as God uses them to help us and to serve us, our eyes are ever toward the Lord who gave them to us, knowing that he is the one who will pluck our feet out of the net, knowing that he is our salvation, he is our refuge and strength, because he is the only one who can help us in the hour of death. There is no one else who can save us from death. Whether we die of this or something else, we are going to die unless Jesus comes first. And so we have to sing with our hymn in the fifth verse, where the hymn writer says, "If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith. Our eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck our feet out of the net. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting."